Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Madhyalila, Chapter 20, Text 23. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Agi Nityanandera Charani Namaskari Pachi Vande Vishwambar Charana Murari. Murari first offered obeisances at the lotus feet of Nityananda and then offered obeisances at the lotus feet of Vishwambar. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, you know, when I speak, I always like to put things in context. Things are always understood in the context in which they are spoken. I remember one time I saw two people arguing and I walked by and I heard something. I came and offered advice. And then they kind of told me, well, you don't know what we're talking about. Because I didn't know the context of it. So whenever I speak, especially these stories and leelas, and especially because I'm giving it twice a week now and not everybody's on it every time, to create rasa. Rasa is a transcendent feeling that comes when there's a unified consciousness. Not that everybody becomes one, but they hear as if they have a single set of eyes. And I describe that this kind of experience, when the audience is unified, has kind of a spiritual effect within itself. It helps people rise above the limited conception of I, which is a disconnect from everything around us. And we see in the modern world, and we see in our relationships, when people are disconnected or not in harmony because of an egotistical, eccentric type of view, we actually see how much discord there is. So I think one of the things I do in classes that helps create this kind of unity is I try to put things in context. So if someone missed anything, then we can all be on the same page. But I think the context of this is very simple, the greater context. Because we know the Madhyalila starts after Lord Chaitanya took initiation. And I made that kind of sutra, which you're familiar with, because I spoke about it very many times, that commitment changes consciousness, especially when the commitment is to our values, or the commitment is to values above opinions and desires. How's that? I like that too. Values above opinions, and desires. That's a man of character, and that's actually a man of love. And they are connected. So Lord Chaitanya made that deep commitment to the highest values, and it completely changed his consciousness to the highest level of selflessness and love. And what we've been viewing is what his consciousness is when he made that commitment to values above opinions and desires. And what the relationship is with other people who've also made that commitment, and therefore create a sangha where there is common interest for the community that joins together in such a way that people can open their hearts without feeling vulnerable and exchange that hearts that are now pure because they've overcome the egotistical conception where you put desires and opinions over values. And therefore, when you put desires and opinions over values, there's no question of love. Because then love becomes our own desires, not the desires of another, which is the consciousness of the soul, which opens his heart ultimately to the pure love of God. So this is what's happened, and we've been seeing these different exchanges. And within these exchanges, a very beautiful thing happens also. There are many, many instructions of how to act to get to that platform and what it looks like when one is on that platform. And it also exhibits the character and behavior of people on that platform, so we can aspire for that. One of the most important factors in a proper society, which we see is lacking today from the top to the bottom, is exemplars of the right values. Exemplars of the right values. And what Prabhupada wanted us to become is the exemplars of the right values. He wanted us to be that class of people for society. And one of the reasons, one of the ways he wanted us to do it is by becoming inspired for that, by hearing about that. And that's why it's so important to hear the stories of Krishna, why it's so important to hear the stories of Chaitanya. And through that, become attracted to the bhava or the mood of people in that consciousness. And also learn the behavior of people in those consciousness. Now, there was a book that I once, started which I never finished. I'm not sure I'm going to finish it, or I may finish it, but I'm not in the mood of projects now. The project I'm undertaking now is myself. So it was called Lessons from the CC. I wrote about 6 or 7 chapters where I go through the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and highlight the different lessons, especially in behavior. I think one great mercy upon me is growing up in a holy place in my Krishna consciousness. Most of the last 43 years, but especially the first 20 or so years of that, I got to see people who were connected to a culture that was more attuned to that than anything we can see now today, especially in the West, what to speak of India, how people were trained in certain values. And it was so helpful to me to learn, to see it, and to see how people respond to things. And when you see it from a person you respect, it enters deeply into your heart in a way that maybe you'll never forget it. And I know certain principles that I learned I followed for the rest of my life just by hearing it from someone that I trusted. So there was a principle here, and what I'm going to do is summarize the last story we went, and then go on verse by verse. This is what we've been doing. So a very simple story. Lord Chaitanya is sitting there, the Supreme Personality of God, and Lord Nityananda, who is, in one sense, his servant on one level. On another level, he's his superior. Pancha tattvat makam krishnam bhaktarupa sarupakam bhaktavataram bhaktakyam. There's different aspects of the absolute truth. And pancha tattvat makam krishnam bhaktarupa sarupakam. So the form of a devotee and the personality of a devotee, they're sitting there. And this great devotee comes in, Murari Gupta, who's a physician. And he pays obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. And then he pays obeisances to Nityananda. And of course, it's not just a physical action. It's a expression of consciousness that increases that consciousness. Bhakti Sanjayate Bhakti. When you do acts of devotion, it actually increases your devotion and increases that particular mood. So he falls down in a very spiritual mood, and it's just very slowly, and in his consciousness, he's thinking, "You are my master." The other way, "I am your servant," or "You are superior, I am inferior." Not a crushing of self-esteem, but the feeling of greatness to be a servant, having that value, dasa, 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 I'm the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. Magnifying the service and magnifying the worth, the self-worth, not of position, but of, not of the height of the position, but of the quality of the position. I am the servant. I am the servant. Just like I mentioned, we're talking about the Krishna Leela, and when Krishna walks in Vrindavan, his beautiful footprints are printed in the ground of Vrindavan, and the ground of Vrindavan preserves those footprints. In fact, when the residents of Vrindavan, when Krishna was being engulfed by the Kaliya serpent, and the residents of Vrindavan were seeing inauspicious omens, the left side of a man or the right side of a woman, if it twitches, it's inauspicious. They saw meteors, the ground was shaking, and they thought, oh my God, Krishna, we have to find Krishna. This is inauspicious. Let us find Krishna. And they went out, and the way they found Krishna is like great gyanis discriminating. They were discriminating. Oh, this is Krishna's footprint in the dirt here. And oh, now he stepped on the sand, the grass, there won't be a footprint, but here's Krishna's footprint. And as they were looking at these footprints, which was Udipan, it was inspiration. It was inspiration for their devotion. As they were looking for those footprints, their relationship with Krishna would explode from their hearts. The parents would go, my son, my son. And the gopis would go, my lover, my lover. And the friends would go, my friend, my friend, my friend. Actually, at a higher level, one could chant the holy name in that mood. Not with those names, but thinking when you call that, when you see it, when you hear that. Anyway, they pay their obeisances humbly. And then Lord Chaitanya tells him, you know, you're supposed to teach those who do not know. Why are you transgressing such principles by your own behavior? Mariah, what kind of principles? I came here, I paid obeisances. Mariah said, well, I trust you, but what's going on? He said, go home, you'll find out. So I'll speak with you tomorrow. You'll understand everything. And then he goes to sleep, and he has this far out. I don't know if I can find a better adjective. Far out dream. He has a completely far out dream. Lord Nityananda is dressed as a wrestler. And he's moving towards him. One second. And he's moving towards him. And he's dressed like a wrestler. And a huge serpent is following behind. And that's Anantasesha, which is a manifestation of Nityananda. And then Lord Chaitanya is following behind them with the chamara, fanning Lord Nityananda. And then they smile. Nityananda looks at Lord Chaitanya, and they smile. And then they look at Murari, and he wakes up just like he wakes up in such a mood, calling out Krishna, Nityananda, Nityananda, Nityananda. And his wife's going, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then he realized that Nityananda was the elder brother. And not only the elder brother, but represented Guru. And even if Guru is not superior to God, but we approach God through Guru, it's a very interesting phenomena of something between us and the truth that amplifies the truth. I give the example, an analogy that I made up myself of some prescription glasses. Prescription glasses. And the analogy is great with prescription glasses because glasses are an object between you and another object that help you to see it more clearly, which are also designed for your eyes. So when you have a teacher, you feel, oh, that person speaks to me. He may not speak to another person, but he speaks to me. What does speaking to me mean? He speaks my language. So this is the principle. So I was explaining within these beautiful stories, the principle, and the principle is without the mercy of Sri Guru, no one is qualified to serve and understand the Supreme Lord. That's the principle. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshiyo viduhu. That the teachings come in lineage, in anything, any subject you want to learn. Just like in the Kaliya pastime, Krishna is dancing on the hoods of the serpent, and his dancing becomes absolutely spectacular. To such an extent that the apsaras there, who are the planet of heavenly dances, come, and everybody else is the planet of the drummers are coming and they're doing their drumming. The planet of the singers are coming. The planet of the Sanskrit rappers are coming and they're chanting their prayers. Everyone is, the apsaras don't. They say, Krishna's dancing. Look at Krishna's dancing. I can't dance. So Krishna's called Adi Guru Kalatra, the original guru of all the arts. Want to learn something? You have a guru. And that guru has his guru. And that guru has his guru. And that guru has his guru. Krishna is the Adi Guru of all the arts. So all that, so this is the principle of learning. This is the principle of learning, that someone has a higher perception of a truth than you do, who can help you to see it by speaking through your own frame of reference to increase your frame of reference. That's that's the system. So Lord Chaitanya wanted to teach this principle. So anyway, through Murari Gupta, he does this. And then today's verse is when Murari has realized that. And he comes in and he first pays obeisances to Nityananda and then to Lord Chaitanya. Almost as if developing the adhikari, the qualification to come to God. And even if we look at the principle of Sri Radha, she has the full capacity. She has the full capacity to serve Krishna. And therefore, those who want to serve Krishna serve her. Because the desire is to serve Krishna. And Radha does it the best, so they serve her. So this kind of principle is there for many, many, many reasons, to put us in the right consciousness for approaching God, to put us in the right consciousness for actually being educated beyond our limited frame of reference and all the conceptions we have that are so subtly tied to our attachments that we don't even realize it. So now we'll go and we'll read the individual verses and we'll have some fun commenting on them. Vishvambhar, which is a name for Lord Chaitanya. Vishvambhar means Vishvambhara, one who maintains the whole universe. That's a name for God. But we also see it, Vishvambhar, one who maintains our bhakti. So we worship Lord Chaitanya for the inspiration to increase our bhakti. So Vishvambhar smiled and said, "Why did you do this, Murari?" Murari replied, "O Lord, I've acted according to your instruction. As a blade of dry grass is blown in the wind, all living entities act on the strength of your potencies." This image of a dry grain of glass blowing in the wind is actually the description of love. Because if the ultimate reality is love, the ultimate reality, you are controlled. Because there's nothing that controls us more than love. Love means what? Another person's desires becomes more prominent than ours. If the mother loves the child, she is a servant of the child's desires. And the child becomes the center of her world. Of course, when we enter into various relationships, we want that mutual. We want people also to love us. But that's our consciousness. And of course, partnerships, you know, figure out what's best for both. But that actually happens at the level of bhava. You become captured because you're so in love with God that your pleasure is to move by God's desires. That's the very definition of bhakti. Anukulyena Krishnanu. Anukulyena Krishnanu. Anukulyena Krishnanu. We move by the anukulyena. We do what's favorable. The intention, Anu Krishna, to follow Krishna. You are captured. Because that mentality, that situation in the world is exploitation. When we hear about that, we become shunned. Oh, anything but that, becoming captured. But if you really have love and that object is worthy of love, moving according to that desire fills the heart with the greatest pleasure. The Lord said, "O Murari, you are very dear to me, therefore I have informed you of this confidential truth." It's not easy to give someone the truth. And I make mentions this point many, many times. The truth doesn't necessarily conform to our desires. The truth doesn't necessarily conform to our desires. The truth is for our benefit, but what is for our benefit is not always what we like. It's for our shreyas, not prayas. Shreyas is ultimate benefit. So the truth is heavy. And this is my own analysis of sense enjoyment, because guilt dampens pleasure, we generally develop a philosophy to support our attachments. And therefore, when the truth comes, it not only challenges our philosophy, it challenges our attachments. It challenges our attachments. And therefore, the truth is heavy. So one is very hesitant to give someone the truth. Because one, people will not necessarily see the truth or accept the truth. And it's so subtly connected to their attachments. Their misconceptions are connected to their philosophy may be connected to attack, that there'll be resistance. So when one actually has faith and submissive and pleases the teacher by that mood, then the teacher can give one the full truth. Very few people are ready for the full truth. And therefore, very few people get it. The Lord then described his glories to Murari as the Lord beloved associate offered the Lord betel nuts from his left. One second. I think I'm going to get a sneezing attack here. Just when I was about to share the highest truth. It's going to be a few more sneezes. I can see that. Ooh. Okay. One second. I'm gonna get my handkerchief. Okay. So now, the result of worshiping the Guru first is now God reveals himself. So now Lord Chaitanya, pleased with Murari, is now going to reveal his glories. And while he's doing this, Gadadhar, Lord Chaitanya's confidential associate, is offering him betel nuts from his left-hand side. Thereafter, the Lord said, O Murari, you are the best of my servants. Saying this, the Lord gave Murari his chewed betel nut remnants. So three powerful things, the dust of the feet of a pure devotee, the water that has washed his feet, and the remnants of his food has special potency. We know that Narada Muni was the Bhaktivedantas, the great Vaishnav saints were staying during the raining season at the inn where his mother, the Dharmshala, his mother was a maidservant, and he got their remnants. Mahaprasad Govinde Nama Brahmani Vaishnave Swalpa Punya Rito Rajam Vishvaso Navajayate. For that faith in Mahaprasadam. When someone would come and offer Mahaprasadam to Bhakti Siddhanta, he would circumambulate the person and pay obeisances. Prasadam of the deities and the remnants, prasad, the mercy, the remnants. So he gave it. And I have that personal experience My full commitment to Krishna consciousness only came after Prabhupada put a rasgulla in my hand and I bit into it. It was so powerful. I had one conception before I bit it. I had another conception after it. I experienced it. The law said, "Oh, Murari, quickly go and wash your hands." Yet Murari simply wiped his hands on his head. So actually it says when you take Charanamrita, when you take the, generally, whenever you eat something, when anything touches your mouth, it's contaminated. I can't understand how people eat from the same plates. Or honestly, if I ever go someplace eating and it's a buffet where people are scooping out from the same thing, growing up in India, it's like, I just can't. And if someone touches their mouth, and they have to wash their hands before they serve, before they cook. The mouth is probably the dirtiest part of the body. So he took the remnants, and he said, "Go wash your hands." And he went like this. He wiped it on his sika, because again, it's just this ritual, this culture is conforming yourself to something higher than yourself. And therefore, he wiped it on his head because he didn't want to wash it away. Rather than being contaminated because he ate it, whatever remnants were there, he wanted to keep with him. The Lord said, "Your caste is ruined. You've been contaminated by touching my remnants." So there was a very strict smarta that means according to the rules, Brahmins. And what were their rules? Their rules were the Brahmin would just maintain the mode of goodness. Because the mode of goodness is the platform where you can understand things clearly and express things clearly. There's a class of men, and they were and cleanliness is the object of sight and the object of touch and the object of smell in the mode of goodness. So they would always be washing. What to speak, they would only cook for themselves or take the food of another, a person who was a Brahmin. They were very, very strict like this. Who they ate with, because the grains carry the consciousness of the person who cooks it. What to speak of the person who has eaten it. So these smarta Brahmins, it was so strict, the level of their external, their purity was so strict that if they would eat the remnants of someone of another caste, their caste, a lower caste, their caste would be ruined. And as the Lord spoke, he became absorbed in the mood of the Supreme Controller. Grinding his teeth, he spoke with great resolve. A sannyasi named Prakasananda lives in Kashi. That fellow enjoys cutting me to pieces. So he's talking about, again, instructions come. Now, Lord Chaitanya is revealing himself to Murari. He's revealing his position as the Supreme Lord, and he's revealing his strong convictions. And he's talking about Mayavad philosophy. And what Mayavad philosophy basically means that the form of God is illusion. Advaita Vedanta to the extreme, that all variety, all individuality is illusion. And therefore, it decries the form of God, it decries the worship of God. Well, sometimes they worship God to go beyond God. And Prabhupada was very heavy about this. The initial translation of the Gita that Prabhupada was using before he had his own was by the president of India, who was a great Sanskrit scholar, Dr. Radhakrishna. And there's a verse in the Gita that says, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskaro. Worship me, surrender to me. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, Madhyaji Mam Namaskaro. Worship me, surrender to me. Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto, pay obeisances to me. And the commentator said, it is not to Krishna we must surrender, but to the unborn beginningless within Krishna. And Prabhupada said, just see, Krishna is standing right before him, and he's saying, not Krishna. And then Prabhupada said, Deho, Prabhupada quoted from the Upanishads, Deha Dehi Nabedyo Yam Neshvare Vidyate Kwachit. Within the absolute, how can you make a distinction between the body and the possessor of the body? It's not to Krishna, but the unborn, beginningless. So basically, it says that Krishna is Maya. It says Krishna is illusion. And we also are illusion. And that when we become realized, we'll realize that all distinction and individuality is illusion. And it's based on kind of a logic that emanations from God must be illusion because they make God less. But the basic principle of God is that God has inconceivable potency. Tad ajati, tad naijati, tad dure, tad vantike, tarantarasya sarvasya, tarusavasya bharata. God walks and doesn't walk. Tad ajati, tad dure, he's far, he's near. Tarantarasya sarvasya, he's everywhere, he's inside. Inconceivable potency is the basic principle of understanding God. And therefore, as the first verse of the Shiosha Upanishad says, Om Purnam Idam Purnam Purnam Purnam, the Supreme Personality of God, it is perfect and complete. And although so many complete units emanate from him, he remains a complete balance. And therefore, the beginning of the Vedanta Sutra is Jadmad Yasya Yataha. It is he from whom everything else is coming. So basically, it's denying God. There's no king without subjects. There's no supreme without a comparison to something else. Eko Bahu Sham, the one became many for the purpose of love. Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, simultaneously one and different. Inconceivably, Achintya, inconceivably one and different. God is expanding without the defect of impersonality. Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam Jagat Avyaktam Murtina. By me, in my energy, I pervade everything, but I am not in them. I do not lose my impersonality. It doesn't actually make sense. And here's just a simple, simple, simple argument. It says that God is an illusion. Illusion requires a subject to be illusioned. So who is it? I guess it must be us. It must be the jivas. But we're also an illusion. Illusion cannot be the subject of illusion. So then what do they have to say? They have to say, well, then the absolute one Brahman is an illusion. But Brahman means the greatest. God cannot be an illusion. There's no substance or basic logically. What to speak that although this Advaita Vedanta was the first philosophy from India that was probably represented in America in the World Congress of Religions in Chicago when Vivekananda came. It's a very, very minority view. It's not the view of the Bhagavad Gita. It's not the view of Nyaya. It's not the view of any of the Indian philosophies. It's there's six schools of Indian thought. This type of view that the individuality of the soul is illusion, and that when we become perfect, we don't exist. That's perfection. It's so counterintuitive. I like Descartesian philosophy. I think, therefore I am. It's so, the Bhagavad Gita says, Natweva hum jatuna sam natvam ne me janati pad sarvanavya. There was a time where I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. So this minority conception that is somehow or other promoted with a motive. I don't know if we'll have time to discuss that motive. Let me see. There's no worshipful person, they say. There's no principle of service. There's no object of service. Worship is temporary. Then he goes on about this Mayavad. He teaches Vedanta, but does not accept my form. I gave him leprosy, yet he still does not understand. Woo! I know that the most famous atheist in the world, who I happen to appreciate because I just like independent thinkers. That was one view of his, but another view he had, he couldn't put him left, right, center. He just had independent thoughts. So I kind of like the guy, Christopher Hitchens. And he was one of the main new atheists. And he wrote a book, God is Not Great, How Religion Poisons Everything. And then he got tongue cancer. Spent a great part of the rest of his life explaining why this couldn't be God's reaction. He couldn't stand that all the Christians now were praying for him. Ooh. He really didn't like that. He really didn't like that. Unlimited universes are present within my body. So how does that fellow dare claim my body is false? My body is false, unlimited universes. Murari, I am telling you the truth, view my servant. Anyone who does not accept my form is vanquished. So he's the Acharya. And the Acharya sits, the teacher sits on the seat, and he challenges opposing conceptions that are not siddhantic, not the right conclusions. The Supreme Lord's form is served by Brahma, Shiva, and Ananta. All demigods worship this form as their life and soul. So Lord Brahma, the topmost person in this universe, Chintamani Prakrasadmasu Kalpaviksha Lakshabhateshu Surabhir Apipaliantam Lakshmi Sahasra Satasambrahma Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Venam Kwanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham Bahabatam Samasitam Buddhasundarangam Kandarpakoti Kamaniya Visheshishobham Govindamadi Purusham. This is Lord Brahma. So he's worshiping the form of Krishna. And also, what to speak of Lord Shiva, Vaishnavam Yata Shambhu. And Ananta is chanting God's glories. Even the pious become purified by the touch of this form. So how does that fellow dare claim my body is false? I open, reveal to you that I am eternal, my servants are eternal, and the servants of my servants are eternal. My pastimes and activities are eternal, and my abode is eternal. Anyone who says they are false cuts me to pieces. By hearing my glories, all ignorance is destroyed, yet sinful teachers say the Lord's pastimes are false. Shiva leaves aside his clothes while relishing my glories. Lord Ananta, the sustainer of the universe, personally sings my glories. Personalities like Shukadev and Narada become intoxicated by hearing my glories. The greatness of my glories is described by the four Vedas. O Murari, anyone who disregards such auspicious glories can never understand my incarnation. So we will end for today. If anybody would like to share a reflection on the class that maybe you'll even take away. So great, Yamuna Jai. You always started off great. Okay.
I had a couple. One other one about that we have to go to Radha to get to Krishna. And it reminded me of something that Madan wrote to a poem to me not too long ago. And he said, in order to get to him, we have to go through her. And I love that. And also your point about...
And that's not, in order to go to him, we have to go to her.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he wrote that to me. And that acts of devotion increase our devotion. I love that point so much.
That's a Sanskrit point. Bhakti sanjayate bhakti. Bhakti increases bhakti. Okay. Yamuna Jaya, that's great. Thank you. Okay. Anybody else like to share a reflection, a point that they appreciated?
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj, as well, Govinda.
Hare Bo.
I was saying, I really like that. The thing that you said, that illusion requires a subject of illusion. And it made me think of like a magic show, a magic trick. there has to be something there first before the illusion can actually happen. And if not, then there's just nothing.
Very good point, Lal. Regisindirada, those calzones you made yesterday for me were fantastic.
Glad you like them.
Train her up good, right?
yeah, train her up. Okay, thank you.
Very cool.
Okay. They were good, though. You have to admit. They were good. Okay. Anybody else? Like, they live near me. So on Tuesdays, they come over and they bring lunch. But social distancing, we stay the right distance. We wear our masks. We spray everyone that comes in the house. Okay. Anybody else like to share some reflection? That was nice, Lal. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you so much for class. I really, really loved your analogy of the guru and prescription glasses. Yeah, because I'm so grateful for your class and all of my classes in Krishna consciousness, because it really does kind of, you know, you act as, like you said, the medium between, you know, our conceptions and, you know, the material world and the truth. And you help us see things so much more clearly. So I really love that comment. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tiffany. Good. Anybody else?
I'll share something.
Yes.
I don't know. I just felt like you were speaking to me when you were talking about how the truth cannot conform to our desires, and our desires don't necessarily conform to the truth.
Ooh, such a heavy point.
Yeah, so it just gave me a lot to think about.
Okay, we will reflect and we'll speak next week.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Girma. That's great. Good. I met Girma in Vrindavan, what, about 10, 12 years ago?
2007.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's just walking down the street. I don't know.
I was led to you, and I'm still kicking my heels.
Okay. Good. Anybody else like to say just hello now?
Hare Krishna
Maharaj. Hey, Jai Kishori. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Okay, good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj.
Oh, Hare Bo. Good. Nice to see. I always appreciate seeing people from the good republic of blank. Okay, another one. Good.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Hemalata Rada.
Okay, I just saw Narmasaki. Hemalata, that's in...
Hare Krishna.
Oh, Hare Bo.
Maharaj?
Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to mention about your class, first of all, thanks so much for class, is that you were saying that the guru, the guru for us to be able to actually be our guru, he has to speak the same language. Yeah. So, so that struck to me because I always thought that you always knew what language I spoke, even though I didn't know. So, thank you so much, Maharaj.
Very nice. Thank you. That's nice. And nice to see the house. Her and her husband built that house personally.
Here is Sebas.
Sebas.
Chapati.
Wow. Oh, save us. Don't torture me. I'd love to have chapatis. Wow. They built the house themselves in the side of a mountain, right? Like a hill.
Yeah, it's like a hill, but you can see from here. Today it's very cloudy.
So they have it really, really good because they have their own house with their own land, and all the craziness in the world doesn't so much affect them. So it's kind of nice.
Okay. Hola, Xiomara.
Hi, bro. Okay.
Hey,
Okay. Okay. And then Gloria and Haribo.
Haribo. Thank you so much for the class, Maharaj.
It's nice to see some of your friends, isn't it? Like,
yes, of course.
With Hemalata Radha there, who we all miss her. Okay. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Who's this? Haribo?
I'll go. Yeah, I also want to ditto Hemalata Radha, because I always introduce you as or refer to you as the person who speaks my language.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
I just remember that joke by Yadanandana? Yeah, Yadanandana, right? How many more questions does Gail have to ask me before I wish she, anyway.
Okay. Oh,
Yadanath. Yadanath. Okay. Okay. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, to your back.
Hey, Jamuna Jaya. Good. Jamuna Pavani. Haribo. It's nice to see all the community, isn't it?
Yeah.
You saw your friend?
I saw my friend, but she hid now.
What?
Yeah, I see her.
Okay. All right. You saw your friend. Well, yeah. Good. Thanks for coming on. That's great. Good. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Jan. Haribo.
Haribo.
Maybe at the end of this week, let's touch base again.
Okay.
And your poem was fantastic. It was. That was really great. Okay. And Thatsrup Maharaj wrote a beautiful thing about it that, you know, he really liked it. Oh, you're embarrassed, but okay. I'll talk to you about it later. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Bo Maharaj, Teresa.
Sri Rupa, Hare Bo. Oh, that Jamuna?
Yeah, Jamuna dear. Thank you so much for, we just got the last.
Right. Thanks for coming on, Jamuna. Great to see you. Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Tota Gopinath here.
Wow. Okay. Hare Bo.
Hare Krishna.
Okay. Okay. See, Sevanandi?
Yes.
Okay.
Hare Krishna.
Sevanandini. Okay. Okay. Okay.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Chinmay Radha is here.
Oh, wow. Great. Thank you for coming on all the classes. I appreciate it so much. Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna.
Oh, Akiko. Hare Bo.
Hare Bo.
Is that a painting or is that a real view behind you?
I'm outside the Golden Gate Bridge. Just kidding.
Are you joking?
No, I am joking.
Okay.
I don't want you to see my messy apartment. So.
It looks so authentic.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Who else?
Hare Bo. It's Don Cayley.
Hey, Don Cayley. Hare Bo.
Thank you.
Wow. Can't wait to come upstate and have to visit me. Okay. Anybody else? Okay.
I'm saying Hare Krishna for Sri Rupa. Poor thing. She tried a couple of times and she wasn't able to.
It is a big competition here, huh?
Yeah.
It's real New York. You got to push your way to the front of the line. Otherwise, you never become a success. Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Okay. Sri Radhika, I will call you now. Okay. Haribo.
Hare